Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you out there listening today. And we're talking about rebuilding the walls and shoring up the walls, rebuilding the gates that have been burned with fire, the gates and the walls that have been destroyed by the enemy in our life. And we all have places in our life that, as we look back over the last year or maybe even the last several years, where the enemy has made inroads into our life. Maybe we don't have that same passion, that same fire we had for the Lord when we first came to know Him. Or maybe if you're out there listening today and you have not made confession of faith, you've never accepted Jesus, and you want to start out this year with a new foot forward, you want to start out with a new resolve to come to know the Lord and to seek God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And so the Lord is for you today. Just to let each and every one of you know, the Lord is for you. He is not against you. There is no time when it does not pay you to come closer to the Lord, to seek Him, to get to know Him in a better way. And as you do that, then the devil will be chased out of your life. Strong hand and a mighty hand of the Lord in your life. And so we're going to look at how Nehemiah did this in relation to rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. In the second chapter of Nehemiah, if you'll turn there in the Old Testament, Nehemiah 2, verse 4, and just to recap what we talked about last week, Nehemiah is the cupbearer for the king. He's in the foreign land. He was one of the exiles that got sent to the foreign land when Jerusalem was taken captive, and he hears about how his former city, Jerusalem, how the walls have been broken down, the gates have been burned, the enemy's army has come in and ransacked the city and destroyed everything in the city. And so he mourns, he grieves, he fasts, he starts to pray, and this becomes a great burden on him. And he starts to ask the Lord, Lord, how can I go back to Jerusalem? How can I, even here in this place so far away, where Jerusalem seems so remote for me, how can I go back and help rebuild the walls and restore that which was once great and mighty because of your great hand? And so Nehemiah, the king said to me, Nehemiah, what do you request? And so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. And so Nehemiah took a step of faith there. He stepped out and he asked the Lord to give him strength. And he prayed to the God of heaven. And then he asked his earthly king, the one that he was the cupbearer for, he asked his earthly king if he could go back to Judah and go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. And then in verse 7, furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Well, we have a great lesson to learn from here, beloved, and that is God will use anybody, even unbelievers, even people that don't know God, even people that don't swear allegiance to God. He will use them in your life to bring blessings to Him and glory to Him, and He will use them in your life to facilitate the kingdom or to move the kingdom forward. And so you can trust God that nothing is impossible for Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will make your paths straight. And so when you don't lean on your own understanding, because in our natural mind, we don't see how God can accomplish the things that need to be accomplished in our life. We don't see how God can use people in supernatural ways to bring change and to bring about kingdom pursuits and kingdom endeavors. We don't see how God can do that when we're thinking ahead and trying to decipher things and analyze things in our natural mind. We say, God, how in the world can you accomplish such a great and mighty thing? Well, let me tell you, beloved, God can use anybody. He used a donkey to speak to Balaam, And he used a rock to deliver water to the children of Israel when they were going through the desert. And so he can use unbelievers, he can use kings, and he can speak through any person, even people who don't know him. And he can use people that have no connection to the kingdom of God, have no allegiance to it, and he can use them to forward his agenda here on this earth. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him." So when you're working for the Lord, when your plan has been established by the Lord, your enemies will be at peace with you. Your enemies will even help you. Your enemies will even come to your aid, and God can use them to acquire the things that you need. And so just as Nehemiah, first he spoke to the king, and he said to the king, "I want to go back to Judah. I want to rebuild." And then he took a bold step, and he said, "I want to have letters written to the governors of the region, so that I can pass through without any problem, without any issues. And I want to have a letter written to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, so that I can have timbers to make these gates out of." And the king granted everything to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. And so if you spend time, beloved, if you spend time in prayer, and you ask the Lord, "Lord, help me rebuild the walls, help me rebuild the gates. Lord, I don't even know where to start," but there will be people that the Lord will bring to your life. There will be people that will speak to you on behalf of the Lord. There will be people that will help you strategize and help you make a plan and help you set forth your agenda and your plan that brings glory to the God of heaven. Well, second point I want to make is when you set with your foot forward towards God's plan, the devil is going to come against you, and he is going to try to destroy you, and he will come against you. He'll throw everything against you that can be brought against you. And so come to expect the fact that when you're doing the work of the Lord, when you're setting out to rebuild the gates and the walls in your own life, when you're setting about to restore that which the devil has taken from you, that the devil is not going to like it. He is not going to be pleased with your life. He is not going to be pleased with you. And he will do everything that he can then to come against you and to destroy the plans of God. Nehemiah 2:10, "When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of it, they were deeply disturbed that a man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel." And so as soon as the plan was established to rebuild the walls and rebuild the gates, Sanballat and the Tobiah, the Ammonite, who were the local officials over that region, they set about then to disrupt the plans of Nehemiah and to destroy the plans of Nehemiah. Well, beloved, again, you can expect persecution. You can expect that there's going to be opposition. Whenever you're doing the work of the Lord, there's going to be opposition. Not only expect it, but you can rejoice in it. James says in James chapter 1, "Take joy in persecution." This is James chapter 1, verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And so James says, count it all joy. Well, that's not an easy thing to do when we're being persecuted and when we're being ridiculed and mocked for our faith. But James says, when you count it all joy, when you take joy in various trials and the testing of your faith, that it produces patience. And then this patience will have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So see it this way, beloved, that without trials and without persecutions and without tribulation, you're going to be incomplete. You're not going to be completely filled, and you're not going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of God without these testings and these trials that strengthen your faith. So you can give joy to the Lord for them. You can give thanks to the Lord for them, and you're going to receive them. So get used to the idea that these trials will come, and you're going to receive them. Well, the mocking spirit in Nehemiah 3 Verse 19, it says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and they despised us, and they said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? And so these officials again start to mock, they start to make a ridicule of Nehemiah and these other Jews who had come to rebuild the wall. They started to ridicule them. And 2 Peter 3:3 says, you must understand that in the end days, mockers must come with their mocking. And so there will be a time when we're all going to be mocked. We're all going to be ridiculed. We're all going to be made fun of. You can get used to the idea that you're going to be mocked as a believer. In the days ahead, it's going to get much more serious. It's going to get more violent against believers. It's going to get more persecution and more vocal and more overt. And so when you come to serve the Lord and when you are doing the Lord's work, expect the fact you're going to get mocked, you're going to get ridiculed, and you will be persecuted for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they said, what is this thing that you're doing? Will you rebel against the king? In verse 20, Nehemiah answers them, and so I answered them and I said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us, that we his servants will arise and build, but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah is determined. He has a resolve. He knows God is with him. And so this is a lesson for us, beloved, and it is a lesson for you. When you are resolved to do the work of God, understand this. God is with you. God is with you. He cares about you. He loves you. And God has your best interests at heart. God has his plan in your heart and in his mind, and he wants to see that plan go forward just as much as you do. I'm going to quote some psalms here that will give you comfort and give you encouragement. Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. And so when you get mocked, when you're in trial and tribulation, just remember this, that God has his angels camped around you. They are going to protect you. They are going to escort you. They will do mighty exploits in the name of the Lord in your behalf. And so you will come to have success when you're doing the work of the Lord. You will have the plans of the Lord established in your life, and you will come to have success when you're doing the work of the Lord. Psalm 34:9, O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want or lack to those who fear him. And so just as Nehemiah was given passage through the wilderness area, through all the regions of hostile territory, he was given safe passage because the governors wrote letters for him. Also, he was given the timbers to rebuild the gates and rebuild the parts that need wood. He was given all the timber that he needed. My God will supply for you all of his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Everything that you need, he will supply for you. Every penny that you need, all of the tools that you need, the people that you need. I've made many trips to Africa, as most of you know, and God has supplied the provision to preach the crusades, to preach the revivals, to pay for the air tickets. And sometimes it didn't come till the last minute. God was testing my faith, and he didn't give the money into my hand to the last minute. But when you step out in faith and when you do the work of the Lord, he will provide for you. If it is his will, he will provide for you all of the things that you need so that you can accomplish his mission and his work as you go forward. Well, Psalm 34:10 says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And so as you seek the Lord, you shall not lack any good thing. You shall not lack strength for your body. You shall not lack provision to buy plane tickets, to buy bus tickets, to put gasoline in your car, provision even for your household, for your family, for those things that you have daily expenses. If you're doing the work of the Lord, he will provide for those things. And I would encourage all of you to support missionaries. I would encourage you to support your local church, support those that are doing the work of the Lord, that are out there full-time doing the work of the Lord, because as you support them, as you give of your tithe and your offering and your maybe house to sleep in, or you take in a prophet or you take in a missionary, you're going to receive a prophet's reward. You're going to receive a reward, that 30, 60, and 100-fold reward, as you bless the kingdom with your money, as you bless the kingdom with your finances. You're going to see that great reward, and it will be given to you as well as to the person that you're blessing. Well, Psalm 37:4 tells us this: delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. And so as you delight yourself, what does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? It means that you enjoy the Lord, you wait on the Lord, you seek the Lord with all of your heart, strength, mind, and soul. You seek the Lord, and you wait on him. And as you delight yourself in the Lord, and you just enjoy being in the presence of the Lord, and you enjoy his presence with you, that he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Well, the main thing, I think, that holds people back from kingdom pursuits, the main thing that keeps people in bondage and keeps them afraid so they don't go on mission trips, or they don't step out and take their place in the fivefold ministry, they don't go into the prison to preach, or they don't volunteer to do things for the kingdom, the main thing is because they are full of fear. They don't have the faith to step out and believe that God can provide for them. They don't have the faith to step out and believe that God is able to take care of them, to watch over them, to protect them. But I tell you this, beloved, God is able. When you step out and do kingdom work, he can protect you. He can watch over you. His angels have guard over you. Psalm 91 says that the angels will protect you. They will not allow your foot to strike a stone, and they will guard you. And so you can trust the Lord. You can believe in his promises, that when you're doing his work, when you're doing his will, that he will guard you, he will watch over you, he will establish you, and the plans that you have made will go forward. And so you don't need to hold back. You don't need to fear. You don't need to, many Christians just hang around the church and wait for another good sermon, wait for another good praise and worship song. But I tell you, God wants to move you forward. He wants to move you into a way that does great and mighty exploits for the kingdom. Well, as we go on to read in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 3, we see that God brings people to Nehemiah, all of the brothers there in Jerusalem. He brings them to him, and then the work starts, the good plans of the Lord that the Lord have established. Those good plans then start to go into action, and God brings people to him, and God then works through these men and works through Nehemiah to rebuild the walls. And of course, the enemy is furious, but we know that God is going to bring people into your life. When you start to seek the Lord, he will bring people into your life. If you don't have anybody to talk to or anybody to speak to, you give me a call or you email me, pureprayer@hotmail.com, and I will speak to you about your Christian walk. I will speak to you about what the Lord wants to do in your life. And as God brings counselors to you, as God brings brothers to stand with you or sisters to stand with you, you will be strengthened in your walk. You will be established. You will be encouraged. I encourage you all to get in the fellowship. If you're not in a fellowship, in a local fellowship, a Bible-believing church right now, I encourage you to do that, to get into the fellowship for the purpose of stimulation, for the purpose of encouragement, to have people to pray with you, to have people to take counsel with you. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so when you are in a fellowship, you have people to counsel with, you have people to pray with, you can find out what the Lord's plan for your life is, or maybe it's some situation regarding your business, regarding your finances, regarding your family, your wife, your children, but you will have counselors with you, people to stand with you, to encourage you, and when these people come alongside you, you will be lifted up, and you will feel like you're not in the battle all by yourself. One of the ways that the devil overcomes people and is victorious over people, he gets them isolated, he gets them in a place where they feel like they're all alone, where they're in a battle by themselves, and then thoughts of destruction, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of drug use or other types of destructive behavior then start to be prevalent and start to take over. And so if you are in the fellowship, God will lift you up, he will raise you up, and he will strengthen you with others who will battle with you. Well, chapter 3, we're going on then to see that the building then starts to occur. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung the doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it, then as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. Also the sons of Hasaniah built the fish gate. They laid its beams, hung its doors with its bolts and bars. And so this whole chapter 3 then is a description of how the work went forward and how then the walls and the gates of Jerusalem were rebuilt. Well, of course, the enemy didn't like this. Chapter 4, verse 1, it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and indignant, and he mocked the Jews. And so the enemy doesn't give up. The enemy doesn't quit. The enemy isn't going to quit in your life. The enemy isn't going to give up. You have to stay in the Word each and every day. You have to stay in prayer every day. You have to stay in the fellowship. And as you stay in the Word, you put that gospel armor upon yourself. Ephesians 6:12, Paul says, stand firm. Stand firm above all things. Stand when all else has occurred, when all else has happened, continue standing, because the enemy is persistent. He's not going to give up easily. He's not going to just leave town because you get a new resolve, but he can be defeated by the power of God. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than the little he that is in the world. And so that God that is in you, he is a great God. He is a mighty God. He can defeat the devil in your life. He defeated him at the cross. He defeated him at the whipping post. He defeated him in the tomb when Jesus rose from the dead. And God can defeat the devil in your life. And all you have to do is come to know the Lord Jesus, confess him, and have the Holy Spirit then come and reside with you to live in your holy temple. And so you can be blessed by the kingdom of God as the Holy Spirit walks with you and talks with you every single day. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I invite each and every one of you to sit down today, write out a check, make it out to Box 92, Norton, Kansas. We depend on your support. We enjoy bringing this broadcast to you, and I assume that you enjoy hearing them. I hear from people all the time that say they enjoy the broadcast, but we need your support. We also have ongoing projects in Africa, the building of the orphanage project in Kenya, which I invite you to become a supporter of that, a monthly supporter of Gather the Outcast Ministry, and I invite you to jump in and get a hold of Kingdom Pursuit through the ministry of Gather the Outcast. There are many ways that you can support us, many ways that you can come alongside us, and you will be pleased with the result. God is pleased with the result, and we look forward to working with you and to see the plans of the Lord go forward in the year 2017. Well, stay tuned for contact information. Tune in again next week. Have a great week. God bless you.